All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As you notice there in that text that Brother Art read, the Lord again was talking about planting that vineyard. He was talking about how He's going to make it a well-watered garden like Eden, but it's His work, it's His planting. All right, let's look here now, 1 Corinthians 3:3. Paul said, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now here's why they were being carnal. Here's the first problem. Because while one saith, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," are ye not carnal? These were two preachers, Paul and Apollos. Now, the problem here at Corinth was idolatry. That was the problem, was idolatry. How so? Anytime something comes between the sinner and Christ, whatever that object is between you and Christ, that's your idol. And in this case, the idol was preachers. Isn't it something? God can assemble His people in His true church, and yet there's creeping up idolatry in it. Somebody said one time, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. It's there with you in your old flesh. It's there with you. It's creeping up there. Now, there was more than two divisions, but Paul narrows this thing down to just him and Apollos. And one reason he does that is because Paul, this division was over their style of preaching. That's how it started. Paul was not an eloquent man. He stuttered and stammered when he preached. Apollos was from the Grecian school. He was from Greece. Sat under these philosophers all these many years. And so his natural style of preaching was to be a lot more eloquent. You can read about that in Acts 18. Tell you that he was an eloquent man in the way he preached, his style. But Paul asked this question, verse 5, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? So what if one speaks one way and one speaks another way? Who are these men? But ministers, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Because we're laborers together with God." Now watch this. You are God's husbandry. You're God's husbandry. Now, the church is God's vineyard. It's His vineyard. It's His garden. It's His garden. His people are His husbandry. And you go out in California and you see the grapevines growing in the vineyards. That's husbandry. That's farming. Go down south and you see the farms and the gardens. That's husbandry. That's farming. He says, you're God's garden, you're God's planting, you're God's husbandry. And he, therefore, who's to get the preeminence? Who's to get the glory? God our Savior is. Because He's the one responsible for everything. He did it all. And so therefore, His people are to be one in Christ. We're not in competition. We're not divided. We're one now by what God has done in His church through Christ. Now that's the message Paul's conveying here in what he says. Now here's the first point Paul makes. God does use laborers. God does use laborers in His vineyard. Look here, verse 5. "Who then is Paul and who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave every man." A preacher is only a minister. A minister. We're so used to saying that word minister like it's some title of elevation that we forget what that's a That means something. That means that's his vocation. That's what he does. A minister. A minister is an instrument. He's an instrument in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a minister is one who executes the commands of another. He's the instrument that does what his master would have him to do. And he's a minister. He's a minister. He ministers something. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. That's whose ministers we are. And stewards. That's what we're ministering. That means we're ministering something. What are we ministering? Stewards of the mysteries of God. We're ministering seed. Now, it's through his ministers that God gives faith to believe on Christ. Look here at verse 5. Who then is Paul and who's Apollos but ministers by whom you believed? Now, does that really say that? It says, these are but ministers by whom you believed. That's important. Some at Corinth saw this division over these preachers. They saw people elevating these preachers and get carried away with these preachers, and they had a solution for it. Their solution was, we just do away with preachers. Look back at 1 Corinthians 1:12. 1 Corinthians 1:12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas. Now look at this group. And I of Christ. That was not a compliment, or he wouldn't have lumped them in there with him other folks. No, sir, that wasn't a compliment. You see, this particular clique, divided off, they claim Christ saved us, not the preacher. And that's true. That's altogether true. Christ saves his people, not the preacher. But their answer to this division was to take things to extreme and to throw out all preachers. Their thinking was, we'll give more glory to Christ if we don't even have preachers and support preachers and send forth preachers whatsoever. We're of Christ. Christ will save who he wants to, whether he uses a man or he don't use a man. Brethren, the devil would love it for all men to take that position. The devil would love it if Christ wasn't ever preached anytime, anywhere in the world. He would love that. This is the extreme. You see how it's last in that list? This is the extreme to which this division leads to. Here's where it ends. It still exists in our day. Folks saying, we were saved by Christ. We don't need a preacher. And it's still wrong in our day. It's still wrong in our day. It's error to say, and this is where it leads to, once you start saying, well, we're not going to support a preacher, here's the next thing. Necessarily, here's where you lead to. In fact, if you're one of God's elect, you don't even have to ever hear the gospel or believe. That's terrible. That's terrible. But Paul says, we're only ministers. That's all we are. We're just ministers. But, he says, we are ministers by whom God gave you faith to believe. So don't throw all the preachers out just because it's God that's doing the saving. It's God's wisdom to give life and to give faith through the preaching of the gospel. That's God's wisdom. Look back at 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. There he is. He created, I read to you Isaiah 5. He created a vineyard. And he did all these shadows and types and pictures in the law, and he gave a law, and he gave all these advantages, the oracles of God, to Israel. Did they find who God was? Did they fall down and say, I'm a sinner, I can't come to you, God, unless you save me by your grace? A few did because he gave them grace to know it. But the rest of them said, we can save ourselves. They made an idol out of all the oracles of God and everything he gave. But that was after the wisdom of God, to show you that men can't find God out by our wisdom. But here's the wisdom of God. But after that, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, I don't like that. Well, you just have to take it up with God. Remember he said in Isaiah 5, my people are the planting of my pleasure. this is God's pleasure. Why? It's God's good pleasure. That's enough. Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 13. He says here, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Who's the first cause here? God is. He's got to give the glad tidings to His preacher. He's got to send the preacher. He's got to send Him to the people. If the first cause is God, not man, it's God. This is how God's showing you He's the first cause in salvation through this thing of preaching. So God does give preachers to His people, and through the gospel, He gives His people life and faith in Christ. Look back now at verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? What did the Lord give? Well, He gave the preachers. We just read that. How can they preach except they be sent? And what else does He give? He gives the life in the sinner. What else does He give? He gives the faith in the sinner. He gives everything. So He does use laborers. He does use laborers, but they're nothing. God's the one who gives them, and God's the one who gives blessings through them. All right, now that's the first thing Paul clarifies. Now look at the next thing. Be sure to understand, though God uses ministers, it's God who gives the increase. Now look here, verse 6. I have planted, Paul said. These are gardening terms, aren't they? I planted. Apollos came along. You read in Acts 18. He came along later, and he watered. And it says, but God gave the increase. So then, what do we conclude? So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, we saw God's preachers there are but ministers. That's all they are. They're just ministers. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers. That's all. Just ministers. Instruments in God's hand to minister. Now, Paul says here, I planted. Paul was used of God, in God's hand, to minister seed. That word minister, if you want to, I've said this to you before to help you understand what it means, administer. Administer. Somebody administers something to you, they're giving something to you. He ministered seed. He said, I planted. He ministered seed. Paul says Apollos watered. Apollos was a minister in God's hand to administer water. Water. Now, when I used to have a garden, I had various instruments that I used in my garden. And they were instruments in my hand. I'd pick them up and use them. However I pleased to use them, they were my instruments and I used them. That's what Paul's saying here. The ministers of God are just instruments in His hand for Him to use them how He will. And I use those instruments to administer something. Now, sometimes you plant something like radishes, for instance. A radish seed's a little bitty seed, tiny little seed, like a turnip seed or, you know, a collard seed, little bitty seed. And when you're planting those kinds of seeds, you don't plant those seeds, go along and plant them, you know, one by one. You want something to broadcast the seed. And I'd have this instrument I'd use. I'd put the seed in it, I'd turn the handle, and a little wheel would spin, and it'd broadcast that seed all over the garden. Paul said, that's all I was in God's hand. I planted. I was an instrument to minister, to broadcast the seed. That's all I did, just broadcasted the seed. And then when I was watering my garden, I had this instrument they call a water hose. Someplace they call it a hose pipe. But the water hose, and at the end of the water hose, you got some kind of nozzle attached to it to where you can make it go wide or hard, or however you want to spray the water. But that's just an instrument. And it's an instrument used to administer water to the sea in the garden. Paul said that's all Apollos was. He was just a water hose in God's hand to administer water to his garden. That's all he was. Now, God's preachers are ministers. They're instruments in God's hand to minister seed and water in God's garden. You know what I never did with those instruments? I never praised those instruments. I never gloried in those instruments. I never even, when I got through with the instruments, I just set them wherever I set them and I'm done with them. I was after the fruit. I was after the planting. I was after what I grew in the garden. That's what I was after. I have glory in the minister. And Paul's saying here, they're just ministers. We're not glorying in the ministers. But now, what is this seed? What is this seed that Paul planted in this water that Apollos watered with? Look over at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And look at verse 11. He says there, we've sown unto you spiritual things. You see that? We've sown unto you spiritual things. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Here's what those spiritual things are. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You see, the preacher's got to be sent, and before he can be sent, he's got to receive this seed and this water too. He's got to be called and saved by God's grace too before he can be used as a minister and know anything about this grace. But look at this. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now there's the seed in the water right there. That's what Paul planted with, and that's what Apollos watered with. Spiritual things. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There was no New Testament Scriptures when Paul preached in Corinth. So when he says here, according to the Scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. You know what that tells us? That tells us the Old Testament Scriptures are all about Christ, just like the New Testament Scriptures are. Paul went there and he preached to them how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He declared the Scriptures of God's promises. Genesis 3:15, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Speaking to the devil, he said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. Who's the woman? Listen. Between thy seed and her seed. There's the seed of the devil, and then there's this woman who has a seed. That woman is Mary, and she had a seed, and that seed's Christ. And listen to what that seed did. It shall bruise your head. Speaking to the devil, it'll bruise your head. That seed's going to bruise your head, and you'll bruise his heel. And that's what Paul came declaring. He came declaring the Scripture of promise. He came declaring the Scriptures of type, in types. He said, you remember back there when Adam and Eve had sinned and they were naked and God found them in the garden and God slew animal and he made coats of skin and God came and he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness. Those coats of skins, that slain, that innocent slain victim in the place of Adam and Eve was a picture of Christ who died for the sins of his people. And they preached the blood of Abel's lamb. You remember how Abel came to God and he came with the blood of a lamb? But Cain came with the fruits of his own planting. He came with what he had cultivated, what he had grown. He thought God's going to save him because of that. What's our text telling us? We're God's husbandry. We can't come by planting and growing ourselves. It's God that gives the increase. Paul said you got to come in the Lamb, in Christ the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. He preached the Scriptures of prophecy, Daniel 9:24. Look over there with me. That's one of the most condensed versions of the Gospel you'll find in all the Scriptures. Daniel 9:24. See, these are the Old Testament Scriptures. You got promises, You got types, shadows, and then you got prophecies. Listen to this. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. You mean God has a people? God has a city? That's who He does this work for. He didn't come doing something just at random. He came to do it for a people. And He says here, to finish the transgression. The first Adam transgressed and brought in the transgression and brought His people under the transgression. The last Adam came, and for His people, He finished the transgression. You mean I've never transgressed against God? Not in God's sight. And that's all that matters. Look here. And to make an end of sins. What about all my sins? Christ is the scapegoat. Remember the scapegoat? The scapegoat took all the sins of all Israel and carried it away into a land not inhabited. That's what Christ did when He took all the sins of His people and went into the land of death. He took all our sins away. He made an end of them. Means there are no more for His people. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. You see, we offended God when we sinned against God. Christ came. We sinned in one man and became God's enemy. And one God-man, Christ the last Adam, He came and He made us God's friend. He reconciled all His people to God by His atonement. He made atonement for our sins. And then He brought in everlasting righteousness. Is that something I got to do? No, Christ is the everlasting righteousness of His people. He's the everlasting righteousness of His people. The fulfillment of the law. The righteousness of God is Christ. And look, and He sealed up the vision and the prophecy. Christ said, I came to fulfill all these scriptures. He sealed them up. He fulfilled them all. And look at this. And to anoint the most holy. You know what Christ is right now for His people? He's the prophet, the priest, and the king. He's anointed. And He's anointed the way into the holiest of holies, into the most holy place, through faith in Him. Now that's what Paul says, I came preaching. And look back at 1 Corinthians 15:4. That's the seed and the water. And look at 1 Corinthians 15:4. He preached Christ resurrected, triumphant, and seen by many witnesses. He said, and I preached that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Just like God said He would. And that He was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. And after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And He goes on to say, and at last He was seen of me. Look down at verse 10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I went forth into this vineyard and I labored, Paul said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now here's what he concludes. Therefore, whether it's me or it's them that's preaching to you, whether I or they, whichever one of these preachers of God it is preaching to you, so we preach, so you believe, by God's grace. So you see, Paul and Apollos were just ministers by whom Christ administered the gospel of Christ. But now here's where my illustration breaks down. Here's where my illustration breaks down. In my garden, I use instruments to sow and to water. But then you know what I had to do? I had to wait on God to make it all grow. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying here, in God's garden, He might use us to administer, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that makes things grow. Look at back at 1 Corinthians 3:6. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, spiritual life, what is that? Spiritual life. Well, sin is death. Transgression is death. Spiritual life is righteousness and holiness. And who's your righteousness and your holiness? It's Christ. It's Christ. God gives the increase. How? He gives Christ. He gives Christ. You see, when the Word's being preached, it's like that seed that's put in the ground. You put that seed in the ground and you can't see it. It's underground. It's in a dark place. You don't even know where that seed is. If you get to messing with it, trying to see that seed, seeing what's happening, you're going to mess the whole thing up. Leave it alone. And in a little bit, that seed that's in the ground breaks forth. And a little tender plant of life comes out of it. And in a little while, you're going to look down at that garden and you're going to see a little tender plant poking its head up out of that ground. And it's going to grow and it's going to increase and it's going to become a vine. And then blooms are going to come out on it. And from those blooms, fruit's going to come out. And all of that is God's gift. It's God's gift. You see, He planted that vineyard in Israel to show you we can't bring this fruit forth. Now He said, but now, when I plant my vineyard, I'm going to hedge it about. I'm going to put ministers in it. I'm going to minister, water it day and night, protect it day and night. I'm going to give increase in my garden. And that spiritual life that comes forth like that little seed in the ground, that life that comes forth through the preaching of this Word is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who did Christ say He is? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and what? The life. He's the seed. He's the life. And then as you grow, what do you become? Christ is the vine. You're the branches. Look at John 15:4. John 15:4. He said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, Christ said, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, Christ is the seed, He's the life within, and He's the vine, He's the growth. He's the one that produces the fruit. Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He produced them. He produced them. Now go back to our text. So we don't glory in men. We don't glory in the preacher. We don't choose one above another. We give the glory to the Lord. Look here, 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God's ministers, His preachers, are to be loved, they to be respected, they to be heard. You ever worked in a garden? It ain't easy work. Working in a garden is not easy. And God's preachers are to be respected and loved and they're to be heard. But they're nothing in themselves. God's preachers, they're sinners chosen and saved by the grace of God, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, just like every other plant in the garden. No difference. They have nothing except what they've received, just like every other sinner God saved. All their gifts they got from God, just like you. If sinners are born through our preaching, if there's a sinner born through this Word tonight that I'm preaching, it won't be because of me. It won't be by me. It'll be the God that gave the increase. God's preachers are not popes. We're not lords. We're not masters. We're not to be put on pedestals and bowed down to as idols. That's what was going on here at Corinth. But we're to be one with the brethren. Listen to Christ. Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master. Don't be called master. You remember when the Pope that we have now, he's supposed to be following after Peter, the Apostle Peter. But they say the Apostle Peter was the first Pope. Do you remember when that man came to Peter and went to bowing down to Peter, and Peter said, get up, man, what's wrong with you? I'm a man just like you are. That's what Christ said. Every preacher is just a man just like you are. Listen to this word, though. He says, one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Brethren. all brethren. All right, now lastly, here's the last thing. Back to our text, 1 Corinthians 3:8. So God's true preachers are not against each other. They're not to be set against each other. And God's people aren't to be divided against each other. We're to be one because we're all laboring together and we're all being used of God. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Look here, listen to this. Paul came there and preached at Corinth. Paul left Corinth. He went on to Ephesus and preached. Apollos was at Ephesus. He left Ephesus and went to Corinth and preached. They weren't together in body, physically. But Paul said, but we're still one. Still one. Chosen by one God, our Father. Redeemed by one Redeemer, Christ, the Son of God. And regenerated by one Holy Spirit. Called into one body, one faith, one... We're one. We're one. Preaching one gospel, one head, one Christ. And God's true preachers are seeking one goal. One goal. And this is what I want you to see. We're seeking one goal, and so is all His people. We're one. All the brethren, all the preachers, we're seeking one goal. And this is what I want you to see. We're sure to receive it. Look here, verse 8. And every man shall. That is the important word in this text. Don't get confused by other words. That's the important word. And every man, every preacher and every believer, every one of Christ's sheep, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now listen to this. Our reward, the preacher's reward, this church's reward, our reward is not a selfish mercenary pay that we're working for. I'm not working to get paid. Salvation's by grace. It's free. We're saved by grace. We're not working to get paid. Nor are we in competition with each other. The reward that we seek is what Christ promises He's going to bring to pass. What reward do you want more than anything else? I want to see God get all the glory. I want to see Christ get all the glory. And I want to see every single one of the plants of God's planting, I want to see them all planted and all grow up into Christ in all things. That's what I'm seeking. That's my reward. Paul said, are not you our reward? The glory of God in the salvation of His people, is that not what you want? He is our portion. That's what we want. That's what we want. He says, we're going to receive it. We shall receive it. Why? Verse 9, for we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. That's why. Remember, Christ's reward is with Him. Remember that? He said, you go forth and you preach. You clear out the stones. You make the way plain. You exalt the highway. And remember this, Christ's reward is with Him. And His work, the effect of His work is before Him, before His presence. He's going to come forth and give the increase. That's how we shall receive that which we're seeking. God's going to get the glory, and His people are going to be saved because we're laborers. Not if we were just out here on our own doing this thing, there wouldn't be no hope for any of us. We're laborers together with God, and you're God's produce. You're God's husbandry. That's right. He gives a preacher and a people together. And we labor together, and this is not my ministry, and it's not your ministry, it's our ministry. Together with God. And God's going to give the increase. We got one goal. God's glory. And the salvation of His people. Now I want to show you something. Two scriptures I never put together. And this just tripped my trigger right here. Zechariah 8:11. Zechariah 8:11. Now I showed you Isaiah 5. How that He broke down the hedge on Israel. He said, now that's not going to be my vineyard because they tried to come by their works and their will and my vineyard's my planting. And then He said, but my vineyard is going to be one that I plant and I water day and night and I'm going to grow that vineyard. Now listen to what Christ says about this. Zechariah 8:11. Now, I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not going to be like it was back here in Israel. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And watch this. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. He's talking about giving the increase in his vineyard. I'm going to cause my people, the remnant of my people, the elect, to possess all these things. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. And here's the application. What's all this mean to me then? 1 Corinthians 3:21. You there? Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to make my people possess all these things. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or whatever other true minister of the gospel you want to name, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. Because He said, I'm going to make them possess it. We're His increase, His produce. To Him be the glory. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray now that You would make that seed germinate, that You would water it deep in that ground that You've broken up, that You'd cause it, Christ, to enter in and make life spring forward, and that the vine would make the branches to bloom and bear fruit, that we'd all be one, and we'd all seek only Your glory and the salvation of Your people. That's the fruit. Lord, make us to see that it's only because we're laboring together with You. You're giving the increase. You're giving every gift and every possession that You've purchased. And You've given us all these things. Don't let us fret. Don't let us be divided. Don't let us worship anybody but Christ. That'll make us useful. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.